I'd ask you to turn your Bible with me here this morning, if you would please, the book of the Psalms, Psalm 119. We've been in a series of messages here at the beginning portion of Psalm 119, as three of the first five verses of this psalm introduce us to three of the four categories in this psalm concerning our walk along the pathway of life. In Psalm 119, I'd ask you to turn with me, if you would, to verse number 1. Verse number 5 is the focus, the introduction to the fourth category of truth in this matter, with which we'll be considering here this morning. But we've considered three others of these categories of truth already out of the psalm. And Psalm 119, beginning of verse 1, stand with me for the reading of God's Word, if you would. The four categories of truth that are presented to us in this psalm concerning our walk along the pathway of life, first concerns the way of this life. That's just, in general, the way of life. The fact that there are things that everyone in life has to face, because that's just simply the way it is in the way of life. The second category of truth that we encounter is the way of our Lord. That is the particular pathway in life that we ought to choose. We have a personal responsibility and a personal choice on whether or not we walk that path of life. The path of this life, the things that we must encounter as long as you live, you have to encounter the challenges, the choices, and the consequences. But involved in the choices, you could choose to walk the way of the Lord and you could choose not to. That's the second category of truth that we encounter. The third category of truth is just its opposite, and that is the way of sin's lies. The way of sin's lies, and that is the direct contrary way of the way of our Lord. Last and finally, and here this morning, we come to the way of our lives, and that is, how do we apply all that we've learned now to our own personal specific walk in this life, the way of our lives? Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You notice the phrase in the first half of the verse, in the way of this life. Just the way of having to live here in this world. Verse number 2, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. There's the choice of walking in the way of our Lord. In contradiction to it, the first half of verse 3 says they do no iniquity. That word iniquity, combined with a verse later on in verse number 29, there's the reference to the way of lying. And thus we understand this is the way of sin's lies, the direct contrast to the way of our Lord. Continue reading verse number 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. The way of this life, verse 1. The way of our Lord, introduced in verse 3 and contrasted in verse 3. And the way of our lives, then mentioned or introduced in verse number 5. That's where we will focus and be, at least begin our focus here this morning. The title of the message, The Direction of Our Ways. The Direction of Our Ways. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would now indeed direct our thoughts and our hearts and our ears and our understanding this morning in order that we might glean the truths You have for us, so that as we go forward in our life, we might have our ways directed according to Your will, Your Word, and Your ways. Lord, I pray again, open our ears and our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. For the glory of the Lord, for the power of the Spirit of God at work, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In Psalm 119, we encounter the words way and ways 18 times, and the word path 2 times, indicating that the pathway of our lives is an important subject of this psalm. In fact, throughout these 20 references, this psalm presents, as I've mentioned already, these four categories of truth concerning our walk along the pathway of life. With the phrase, in the way, verse number 1, introduces us to the first category of truth, the way of this life. With the phrase, in His way, verse number 3, introduces us to the second category of truth, the way of our Lord. In direct contrast to our Lord's way, verse 3, referring to not walking in iniquity, and then verse 29, by stating or referring to the way of lying, introduces us to the third category of truth, the way of sin's lies. Finally, with the phrase, my ways, in verse number 5, this verse introduces us to the fourth category of truth concerning our walk along the pathway of life. It is the category, the way of our lives. Already concerning the way of this life, we've learned that in this life, we all must face challenges, make choices, and accept the consequences. There's nothing that we can do to change that. That's simply a fact of living life. A fact of living life is that you have to face challenges. A fact of living life is that you must make choices. And a fact of living life is that you must accept the consequences of the choices that you have made. That's a fact of life. Already, concerning the way of our Lord, we've been exhorted to choose to walk after His ways. And already concerning the way of sin's lies, we've been exhorted to choose to avoid sin's ways. Being exhorted to walk after our Lord's ways, we've learned of our need for determination, conviction, passion, education, adoration, meditation, transformation, rejection, and continuation. Furthermore, being exhorted to avoid the way of sin's lies, we've learned of our need for correction, separation, instruction, and abomination. Now, here this morning, concerning the way of our lives, we are brought to the place of personal application. It's not enough for us to be exhorted with our need, brethren. That's not enough. Now we must actually apply these principles that we've learned throughout this study to our personal walk day by day. It's not enough for us to be hearers of the Word. We must be doers also. We must look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein with obedience, not being forgetful hearers, but being doers of the work. Then, we shall be blessed in our life for the Lord, in our walk for the Lord, in our walk throughout this life. Then we will be blessed by the favor and the fellowship of the Lord our God. Not because we've been exhorted and we've heard the exhortation, but because having heard the exhortation, we apply that exhortation to our lives by doing, by obeying the Word. Therefore, here this morning, I would seek to present to you, not spending any significant length of time on any one of the points, but I would seek to present to you 7 truths or 7 matters that are involved with this application of that which we have already learned. First of all, there is the matter of desire. The matter of desire. We've learned of all these principles. We've learned of our need. We've been exhorted concerning our walk after our Lord's ways, of our need to have a determined choice to obey Him and to have the conviction that God's Word is truth and righteous altogether, that we should have a passion for the things of the Lord and that we need to be in the Word, educated at all times to know the way of the Lord, having a growing adoration for God's Word and God's ways and meditating therein day and night and being transformed in character thereby and rejecting the ways that are contrary to God's Word and will and continuing therein every day of our life, time and time again, day after day after day. We've learned concerning our avoidance of the way of sin's lies that we need correction from the things of corruption that are already in us, and that we need separation from any further commission of sin and any further temptation that would come along, and that we need instruction from the Word of God to know the difference between right and wrong so that we can flee that which is wrong, and yea, that we need even to develop a spirit of hateful abomination against all the ways of sin. We need all of that. But if we're going to apply these principles, actually apply them to our lives, there is the matter of desire. Look, if you would, at Psalm 19, verse number 5, where we are right now. And as we proceed, we'll be moving to other verses throughout the Psalm. But the application of these principles to our personal walk day by day begins. It begins with the desire of our hearts. Psalm 19, verse 5, the psalmist expressed his own desire, saying, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. With this exclamation, with this expression of desire, the psalmist indeed possessed a deep, a driving desire to have his ways directed in obedience to the Lord's Word and to the Lord's will. Can you not hear the deep desire? Can you not hear the driving desire? Can you not hear the earnest and fervent desire of the psalmist's heart when he says, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy word. I present to you, brethren, that you'll never apply any truth of God's word to your life if you don't begin with at least some desire. Do we have just such a deep, driving desire to walk in the way of our Lord, even as the psalmist did? Without such a desire, our walk and our Lord's ways will fail even before we've begun. You don't pursue something if you don't desire it. You have to begin with some form of desire, with some form of motivation to do right. I know as a pastor in dealing with people and counseling people, I know that if I sit down with them and I begin to give them principles from the Word of God, they may come for one matter or another seeking counsel so many times. Listen, I tell you, so many times as a pastor, when people come to the pastor for counsel, they claim that they're seeking biblical counsel. I mean, why else would you go to the pastor? If you want unbiblical counsel, then go to somebody else, right? It's only natural if you're going to the pastor that biblical counsel is the assumption that that is what you're going to get from the pastor. Now, it's not always true that every pastor gives biblical counsel, but if you go to the man of God, what kind of counsel should you receive? From the Word of God, right? I mean, that's just natural. So the assumption is that they've come for biblical counsel. They sit down. But let me tell you that most people that come for biblical counsel, quote unquote, to the pastor, in reality, have already made up their mind what they want to do. Probably, with the number being very, very generous, four out of every five come with their mind already made up what they want to do, and they come to the pastor looking for biblical counsel, hoping that the counsel the pastor gives, rooted to some statement of the Bible, will actually support what they've already decided. They're not coming for counsel. In reality, they're coming for confirmation. The problem is so many times, the thing that we've already decided we want to do isn't in fact what God wants us to do. And therefore, if you come for biblical counsel, the biblical counsel is contrary to what you've already decided. And here's what I found with individuals such as that. They sit there, you give them biblical counsel, and as you begin to give it to them, you find very quickly through the way they communicate, through their body language and so on, they have no desire to do what the Bible counsels they should do. Here's what I also know. In that moment, I know that when they get up and leave, however long the counseling session goes, when they get up and leave, they will not do God's Word. How do I know that? So how can you know that? Because they have no desire. If they have no desire to do God's Word, they're not going to do it. Right? There won't be any obedience. You say, well, now listen, it's possible to get somebody who has no desire, it's possible to get them to obey anyway. For example, I could tell my son to do a certain thing around the house, and I could tell as he walks off, stomping as he goes, that he has no desire to do it. But he still does it. You say, see, somebody with no desire can still do what they have no desire to do. I'm going to tell you something. He actually does have some desire to do it. He said, no, it doesn't. Didn't you just see the way he walked away? Didn't you hear him grumbling under his breath? Yep. But here's the one thing I know. He has just enough desire not to get punished that he has enough desire to do it anyway. But the rebel, the one who's determined that he's going to do it his own way anyway, who sits there in council says, I'm already determined to do what I've determined to do, doesn't even care about God's judgment. In fact, in those counseling sessions, often I will communicate not only what God wants, but then the warning if they don't do it God's way. And what happens? They've already determined what they want, so they're going to do what they want anyway. They have no desire, not even desire motivated by the fear of judgment. No desire at all. They're not going to obey. Listen, if we're going to apply the truths of God's Word to our life, it has to begin with some level of desire. Amen? There's got to be some desire. Like the psalmist, and it begins at the beginning of his psalm, oh, that my ways, oh, how much of a desire I have that my ways would be directed after God's Word. I would ask, how deep is our burden to walk in our Lord's ways? Oh, how zealous is our desire to walk in our Lord's ways? Oh, how fervent is our motivation to walk in our Lord's ways? But then second, not only is there the matter of desire, but there is the matter of deliberation. Deliberation. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 19, verse number 9. Just a few verses down from verse number 5. Probably still able to count that far with two hands. If we have a genuine desire to walk in the way of our Lord, then we must deliberately consider and take heed unto the path of our lives. In Psalm 19, verse number 9, the truth is revealed. Wherewithal, or that is, how shall a young man cleanse his way? How is he going to find the wherewithal to cleanse his way? If you need a little bit of help with that word wherewithal, how does that mean how and why? Why such a big word? The idea of wherewithal, you've heard it before. Where did he find the wherewithal to accomplish that? That's the idea here. How? Where is he going to find the wherewithal to cleanse his way? The answer is then given. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, it's important to understand the grammar of the verse before we proceed forward. Now, I know sometimes when I mention grammar, some of you, maybe many of you, maybe most of you sigh and say, but Pastor, we're not still in high school. Please, we left that a long time ago. Well, some of you are still in high school, so definitely you pay attention. Only a week or a few weeks, you will be heading back to school. And I see many smiles on your faces because of that. You're just so excited to know that, right, Joshua? Excited. Yippee! School again. But in any case, I want you to notice something about the answer. Many times when we come to this verse, we think that the answer reads like this. At least this is the way we hear it preached. This is even almost the way we hear it when we quote it, although it's not accurate. We hear, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to God's Word. But that's not what it says. It's not what it says. If it said that, it would mean that we need to concentrate on taking heed to what God's Word says. Now that is built into the verse, don't misunderstand. The grammar of the verse does allow for the fact that we should obey the Word of God, but that's not actually the thing to which we're to take heed. In this verse, are we to take heed to God's Word? Amen. But in the grammar of this verse, that's not what it's saying. It's not saying take heed to God's Word. It's saying take heed thereto. To what? Well, that's something that's already been mentioned. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, or to his way. It means that every one of us needs to actually deliberately concentrate and pay attention to the way that we are walking. And then, as we concentrate on the way that we are walking, we need to make sure that the steps that we take are in accord with, according to, the standard, the leading, the guidance of God's Word. It's not just take heed to God's Word, it's take heed to your way. Concentrate on where you're going and make certain that where you're going, the steps that you're taking are in accord with what God actually has said in His Word. That's the principle that's being given in this verse. And so there are two truths we're going to glean from it. First of all, is the matter of deliberation. You see, brethren, if we would have our way cleansed from that which is contrary to our Lord's ways, cleansed from things that are already contrary to our Lord's ways, and if we would continue forward here on out after the cleanness of our Lord's ways, we must take heed with deliberate attention unto the steps of our daily life. We cannot just walk through this life carelessly. We cannot. Not if we're going to walk clean. We cannot walk through this life carelessly. For the uncleanness and filthiness of sin abounds all around us. Rather, we must walk through this life carefully, considering where we place our foot in each step, lest we step into the uncleanness and filthiness of sin. Now, brethren, I don't want to make this an overly gross illustration, but if, perchance, for some reason you were having to walk through the cow field, you would not want to walk, especially if you were going to if you wanted your wife to let you back into the house. Amen? Or at least let your shoes back into the house. You would not want to walk carelessly through that field. Right? You would want to walk carefully through that field. Why? Well, we all know why if you're walking through the cow field. Because there are presents that the cows have left all around the field. And you do not want to, as Tim just said, they are landmines, and you don't want to step on one of the landmines. It's filthy and disgusting to do so. Amen? You ever have that problem walking in dealing with the deer and other such like? Sure. So, Diane, now maybe your husband doesn't care. I don't know. He just tromps right through it with his boots. And, you know, guys are like that. But I am sure, I am absolutely sure that Diane has a bit more concern where her feet go, especially if she happens to be wearing sandals. Amen. So when she carefully watches her walk, she doesn't, you know, carelessly versus carefully, what does carefully mean? Carefully means that as she's doing what she's doing, she's watching every place where she steps her foot. Right? Not there. Over there. Okay, and now another one. Over there. Why is she doing that? Because she doesn't want to walk through the filth. Now, brethren, how much filth is in the world around us as we walk through it in our lives in a spiritual manner? Man, if we walk carelessly, it's not like you encounter the filth once every few possible years. The filth is everywhere. The filth of sin and the uncleanness of sin is everywhere. And you have to carefully watch where you place each step. You have to take heed to your steps, to your way. Take heed. Psalm 19, verse number 59. Therein the psalmist declared, I thought on my ways. He took heed, he concentrated, he paid attention to his ways, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Proverbs 4, verse 26 gives the instruction, ponder the path of thy feet. That's what you do when you walk through the cow field and you don't want to step in anything that would be filthy. You ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Brethren, indeed, we must take heed that we walk circumspectly. That's a Bible word, Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. That we walk circumspectly, or that is very, very carefully, with very much concentration and paying attention to the way we're walking. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil, filled with evil and its filth all around us. There is the matter of deliberation, deliberate concentration on where we step our foot. Then in the third place, there's not only the matter of desire and the matter of deliberation, but there's the matter of dedication. With a definite desire to walk in the way of our Lord and with a deliberate consideration of the pathway of our lives, we must then dedicate our way to walk step by step according to God's Word. Again, Psalm 19, verse 9, the truth is revealed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, by paying close attention to his way in accord with, according to God's Word. There's the matter of dedication. We have to not just concentrate on our path, but we have to make sure that in concentrating on it, we dedicate it to obey the standard of God's Word. In order to have our way cleansed from that which is contrary to our Lord's ways, and in order to walk faithfully after the cleanness of our Lord's ways, we must dedicate and submit our way to be governed, guided, and guarded by God's Word. We must take heed that every step, every single step of our daily walk is governed by the truth and teaching, by the standards and statutes, by the principles and precepts, by the counsels and commands, by the wisdom and warnings of God's Word. We must dedicate our way to search the truth of God's Word with diligence each day, to receive that truth with meekness into our hearts, and to continue in that truth with obedience as faithful doers. That must be our dedication. Do we have a desire to walk in the Lord's ways? If we don't, we've already lost. Without desire, we won't even go forward. But desire is not enough. Then with desire, we have to deliberately concentrate on the way that we're walking. But even that's not enough. Because now we need the Word of God to be the governing principle to show us the direction we ought to walk and the direction we ought not to walk. We must dedicate our way to follow the standard of God's Word. See, now that's the kind of counseling that the pastor likes to give. When somebody comes to counseling, you know that one out of every five, not the four who've already determined what they want to do, but that one that comes and says, I have some idea of what I think maybe I ought to do, But I'm really not sure. What does God's Word say about the matter? And I say, and here's the thing, actually, I could probably use the number 10. Probably 7 out of every 10 have already determined what they want. 2 out of the remaining 3 haven't determined what they want, but they come to say, what does God's Word say? And then I'll kind of weigh it with some other options to see if I like what God says. We'll see if I like what He says, I'll do it. If I don't like what He says, then I won't. They haven't already decided, but they're going to weigh the credibility of God's counsel in their own mind. But maybe 1 out of every 10 that comes from counsel comes saying this: I don't know what God's Word says, but whatever it is, I'll do it. I don't care if I like it or not. I'm going to do it. Pastors like to give counsel to individuals like that. By the way, counseling sessions with those individuals are usually the shortest ones. Because all you got to do is open the Bible in about 15 minutes, show them what the Bible says, and they go, okay. The counseling sessions that tend to go longer are the ones where you're trying to convince them that their way is wrong and they've got to throw it away, or convince them that God's way really is good for them and they ought to obey it. But the one that's already determined God's way is right and I'm going to do it, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, I'm going to do it. They come in and say, what does it say? It says this. Okay, I'm going to do that. Well, it's going to be hard. I know. It will be hard. It's going to be really, really, really hard. But I'm going to do it because God said to do it. So I'm going to do it. See, brethren, that's dedication. That's dedicating our way to obey God's Word no matter what. His Word is the standard. And whatever it says, I'm going to meet the standard. In Psalm 19, verse number 11, we find this truth, given thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In Luke 9 and verse 23, our Lord Jesus gave the instruction, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, brethren, we must dedicate our way to search this truth from God's word, as I've already said, to receive that truth into our hearts and to continue in that truth with obedience. Then there's the matter of dependence. The matter of desire, the matter of deliberation, the matter of dedication, the matter of dependence. There's no doubt we must fervently desire to walk in our Lord's ways. There's no doubt that we must deliberately take heed unto the way of our lives. There's no doubt that we must daily dedicate our way to walk according to God's Word. But I present to you that we cannot proceed in these things with self-dependence in our own understanding or in our own strength. If we try, we will fail. We might have the right desire. We might have the right deliberation. We might have the right dedication. But without dependence on the Lord, we will still fail. Rather, we must trust in our Lord with all of our heart and must acknowledge Him in all of our ways. In Psalm 19, verse number 26, if you'll turn there, the psalmist said, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. By the way, based upon the second half of that statement, to whom did he declare his ways? Who's the one he wants to hear him? Well, the Lord's hearing him, so to whom is he communicating? He's communicating his ways to the Lord. This is just a different way of saying, acknowledge Him in all your ways. The psalmist was saying here, that's what I do. I declare all my ways. I acknowledge Him in all my ways. I go to Him in prayer concerning all of my ways. Now, why would he go to the Lord in prayer concerning his ways? Well, asking for the Lord's wisdom to make the right choice and asking for the Lord's choice to actually fulfill the right choice. That's what he's saying here in Psalm 19, verse 26. I've declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. In prayer, the psalmist declared his ways unto the Lord, completely depending upon the Lord to direct him in wisdom and to empower him for victory. In like manner, brethren, we must depend upon our Lord completely in each step of our daily walk. We must depend upon His grace to direct us in righteousness and to empower us for righteousness. We must go to the Lord and say, Lord, here's my day. I'm acknowledging You. I'm acknowledging Your presence. I'm acknowledging Your will. I'm acknowledging that You are the one that is to go before me, and I depend upon You to guide me, and I depend upon You to empower me. Guide me to know what is right in the way of righteousness, and empower me to fulfill what is right, to do the way of righteousness. There's the need for dependence, the matter of dependence. Desire, deliberation, dedication, they're all necessary, but they're not enough because they are all rooted in us. And we must take all of that and root it in Him with dependence upon Him. But then in the fifth place, there's the matter of decision. There's the matter of decision. With fervent desire, with deliberate consideration, with daily dedication, and with complete dependence, we must then make a specific decision for each of our daily steps to walk in the righteousness of God's holy Word. Turn with me now, if you would, to verses 59 and 60. Verses 59 and 60 here in the psalmist declared, I thought on my ways, there's his deliberation, and then he makes his decision, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. To see this in form, we might have an individual here who has a desire to do God's Word. I desire to do the things of the Lord. I am deliberately looking to consider where my next step should be. And I'm dedicating that step, which by the way, if you're going to dedicate your walk, you dedicate it one step at a time, don't you? Somebody says, I dedicate my life for the Lord. But then step by step, they just do whatever. Well, they didn't really dedicate their life to the Lord. You dedicate your life to the Lord, your life's walk to the Lord, by then looking at each step and dedicating each step to the Lord. Okay, so I have a desire to serve the Lord, and I'm deliberately considering where my next step will be, and I'm dedicating that step to whatever God's Word says, and I pray and say, Lord, I depend upon You to show me the way and to empower me to make it. But, have I actually walked in the way of the Lord yet? No. Not until then I actually follow through in decision to take the step. Right? Now there's the matter of decision. I've pondered, I've looked at, I've thought upon my ways. In thinking upon them and praying to the Lord in dependence and all of that, I now know what the right step is. This is the right step. That's what it is. That's what it should be. But until I actually take it, I have not yet decided. In decision, I take the step. Amen? That's the matter of decision that he's expressing here in Psalm 19, verses 59 and 60. We must actually make the decision step by step to walk in our Lord's ways. We must actually decide to place the next step in obedience to the way of our Lord. And then to place the next step in obedience to the way of our Lord. And then to place the next step in obedience to the way of our Lord. And then to place the next step in obedience to the way of our Lord. And then, and I could go on for the remainder of your life, because that's how many steps you will yet take, however many there are between now and the remainder of your life. This is the very manner in which we must walk in our Lord's ways. It's step by step by step by step. It's decision by decision by decision by decision. And might I present to you out of this passage of Scripture, Psalm 19, verses 59 and 60, not only is there the matter of decision that we must actually decide to take the next step, to make the next step in obedience to God's Word, but might I present to you that we must make such step-by-step decisions in obedience to the way of our Lord in haste, without any delay. What did the psalmist say here? He said, verse 59, I thought on my ways. I have desire. I have deliberation. I have dedication. I have dependence. I thought on my ways. And then I decided to turn my ways, to turn my steps, to turn my feet unto thy testimonies. But then in verse 60 he says, the manner in which he turned his steps according to God's testimonies in obedience thereto. He says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Have you ever given a command to one of your children about which they began to obey, but very sluggishly and slowly? I see parents looking around the room at various of their children. I'm assuming that means yes. Here's the thing in raising the two boys that I'm raising. Here's the thing I know as a parent. If I let them continue to get away with sluggish and slow, eventually, they won't obey it at all. Because here's what hesitating opens the door to. Not obeying. Right? Sure it does. Hey, Patrick, go collect the trash. Oh, man, do I have to? Well, obviously, the reason he doesn't want to do it is because he's got something else he'd rather do, right? So as he begins to rather do the thing that he'd rather do, eventually he forgets to do the thing that he was told to do. Ever happen? Ever had to remind your child some hours later to do the thing you told them to do hours before, that you really expected them to do hours before, and then you hear, oh, I forgot. I'm not always sure if they really forgot. Sometimes I wonder if they remember, but they're just rebelling. I don't know. But I can't really look in their heart. But you know what? The fact is, I forgot is still a disobedient act. You know why? I know forgetting in general is not always disobedience. Sometimes we just forget information because we forget it. But if I instructed my son 3 hours before to do something 3 hours before, and 3 hours later he's not yet done it, and his answer is, I forgot, did he disobey me? Yes, he did. And you know how he could have prevented disobedience? By making haste to do the thing that he was told to do immediately. Because if he'd done it immediately, then it ought to be done 3 hours later, and I wouldn't come back to reprimand him for not doing it, and he won't have to say, oh, I forgot. Brethren, I present to you, delayed obedience will always lead in time to sinful disobedience. That's what it leads to. So we need to make haste in obedience to God's Word. And we need to not delay to keep His commandments. Well, brethren, we have this matter of desire, this matter of deliberation, this matter of dedication, this matter of dependence, this matter of decision. Number 6 and 7 yet to go. Number 6, the matter of direction. Turn with me now to Psalm 19, verse 105, a fairly familiar verse. As we make step-by-step decisions to walk in the way of our Lord through obedience to the truth of His Word, we will find that His Word will enlighten our path for future steps in righteousness. Do you ever say, I don't know which way to go? Well, the Word of God is the lamp and the light to guide you. And as you proceed to follow it, here's the thing you find. As you pick up the light, I might say a lamp, but we don't generally carry those things, lanterns and lamps anymore. We now carry flashlights. All right? So in our day and time, if you grab the flashlight and you shine it out in front of you, in the immediate steps in front of you, let's suppose we go back to traveling through the cow field, but we're doing it at night. By the way, that's what you're doing in this world. Because not only is this world filled with sinful filth, but God calls it a dark place. So that is exactly what you're doing. Now as you're walking through the field, you can try to be careful. But let's suppose it's a night where the moon's not even out. There's deep cloud cover. It's fairly dark. As careful as you are to watch your steps, can you really see where not to step to end up in the field? Not without a flashlight. Now with that flashlight, if you're carefully trying to follow your steps, do you shine the flashlight 100 yards out in front of you? No, that doesn't help you step by step. That might show you the angry bull that is on the way, but it won't help you step by step through the field. And we'll trust the Lord to take care of the angry bull. Amen? There is one. Although he's not called an angry bull, he's called a roaring lion. But in any case, if we depend upon him, he'll take care of the roaring lion. Amen? we need to make sure that our steps are put in the right place. How do I then see in a dark place where those steps ought to be? I shine the flashlight down. Now, the flashlight is only going to show me one, maybe two or three steps ahead. But here's the thing. As I'm shining it down on the ground in front of me and I take one step correctly, what has the flashlight just done? It's just moved yet another step as well. Now, I couldn't see step number four originally, but I can see it now. Because now it's actually step number three. I took step number one. So then two, three, and four become one, two, and three again. Now, I can't actually see steps four and five, but as I take the next two steps, I can see the further steps in front of me. The fact is when I was a junior in junior high in high school, and I yielded to the Lord at that time to go into full-time ministry for the Lord, I didn't know I was going to end up at Melvin Baptist Church. If I had, I might have... Well, we all can imagine what that blank might be filled with, right? But the fact is, there's no way in the world I could have known that I was going to write a couple of books. There's no way in the world that I could have known that I would have ministered to this particular group of people. I didn't know that. You know what was required of me back when I was in high school? Just take the steps that are in front of you right now. And if you take those steps, by the way, junior high and high school, I didn't even know what college I was going to. All right? You take those steps, and you get to be a senior in high school, then I'll show you the steps of the college you're to go to. Then you take those steps, and as you step through that, I'll show you, I didn't know what woman I was going to marry. Now that one, if I had known in advance, I would have done it anyway. I do want to eat this afternoon, amen. amen. And in any case, because she told me what she was making, I want to eat this afternoon. But then, you know, he led me through those steps and led me to the young lady I was to marry. By the way, I didn't meet her the first time I met her, and he said, voila! Marry her. No, because there were steps along that path, too. She wasn't the only girl I met at college. But I didn't marry them all. Praise the Lord. My wife says, you best believe you didn't marry them all. Remember that. But you follow what I'm saying? Now, from those steps, I still didn't know. Coming out of college, I still didn't know I was going to end up in Melvin. Didn't know anything about Melvin. But by the time I came out of college, I was at a church in Belleville. I didn't know that I was going to move from Belleville to this area and end up at Trinity. But 3.5 years later, that's where I was. I didn't know from Trinity, where I was committed myself originally to 5 years of ministry there at least, that 1.5 years later I'd be gone to here. In reality, I don't know where I'm going to be next year. You say, well, come on, Pastor, you'll be here. Are you sure? What I can know, however, is the steps God wants me to take today, and maybe the light shines into tomorrow. And as I take the right steps there, He'll show me Tuesday and Wednesday. And then He'll show me Thursday and Friday. Amen? That's the path that I'm to take. And this is the direction that is given to me from the Word of God. In Psalm 19, verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The truth of God's holy Word is a spiritual lamp to enlighten our walk through this spiritually dark world. How can we know the way in which we're to walk? God's Word will enlighten the way. For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs and instruction are the way of life. Proverbs 6, verse 23. I ask you, are we interested to know the right way in which we ought to walk from day to day? Are we interested to know the righteous course that the Lord our God has set before us? Well then, if we are, let us take heed under the spiritual light of God's holy Word. Because I can tell you this, if the flashlight's in your hand, but it's turned off, it's still not doing you any good. If the flashlight's in your hand, but turned on, but you're shining it behind you, it's still not doing you any good as you go forward. You've got to take heed. You've got to get in the Word and see what the light of the Word shines and then take heed to the light. It doesn't even do me any good to shine the light in front of me and see the way I can go and then walk sideways into the dark where I wasn't shining the light. Then I'm likely to walk into a barbed wire fence. Or maybe even an electric one. Because the light's got to be shining before me to show me which way to go. And if I shine it directly in front of me, and directly in front of me there's something very large that I don't want to proceed into, then the light of God's Word will say, not that way. Then what do? Then I turn and shine it to one side or the other, and maybe to the right hand it says, don't go that way either. Okay. And I shine to the left, and it says, well, actually, don't go that way either. Well, then probably I've been going some direction I ought not to have been all along, because I'm going to have to backtrack a little bit. And that's what it'll say. Actually, you took a wrong turn. You're going to have to backtrack. Because your wrong turn somewhere back there led you to the mess you're in now. The light of God's Word will do that for me too. It will correct as well as instruct. Amen? Let us take heed to the spiritual light of God's Word in order that we not be ensnared in the miry pit of sin and be destroyed thereby. But last and finally, there's the matter of devotion. Turn with me near the end of the Psalm, Psalm 119, verse 167 and 168. As we continue along this process of desire, deliberation, dedication, dependence, decision, and direction from day to day, we must develop a growing devotion for the Word and way of our Lord. The psalmist declared in Psalm 119, verses 167 and 168, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I've kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Now, he could be saying, just factually, God sees everything, God knows everything, but that's not the context. The context is, from verse 167, I love God's way. And in loving God's way, all of my ways are before the Lord. He's saying, I adore the way of God so much, I am so devoted to the way of God, that every part of my life has been devoted to Him. Every part of my life is open to Him. It's not just open because everything's open to the eyes of God. It's open because I have opened my life to God and said, God, enter in to everything. Because everything has been devoted to You. In declaring here that all his ways were before the Lord, the psalmist was indicating that his entire heart and his entire life was devoted unto the will of the Lord. Brethren, I present, we also must develop such a devotion to the will and ways of our Lord. We must be devoted in all our ways unto the truth of His Word and unto the righteousness of His way. And then as our devotion grows, so also will our daily walk in our Lord's ways. As we walk more in His ways, we'll grow more in devotion. As we grow more in devotion, we'll grow more in walking in His ways. And the pattern will just continue on until our final breath in this life. We can look back. Yea, no, not we look back. But the Lord our God look back and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But it's going to have to start now to get there then. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for these wondrous principles from Your Word, not only today, but throughout this entire couple of months in which we've been considering these truths in this series. And Lord, I pray now that we would indeed take them up and apply them to our life. That we would be a people for the Lord and not for ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.